Here we go. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. This is show number 172, recording this on Sunday, April 30th, 2006, from Seattle, Washington. You're going to want to listen to this whole show because later on in the show, I'm not going to tell you where or when. I am going to tell you how you can win tickets to the community party at E3 this year. It was a great party last year, and we've got it again this year, so I'll talk about that a little bit later on. But first, I have to get my Australia trip out of the way. You probably heard me yakking on and on my blog about that. So I wanted to just provide that a little bit of a kind of wrap that up finally here with this show. So for those of you that don't know, I was down in Australia for the large water balloon challenge. So yeah, let me get this straight. As I told my family and my coworkers, I flew 17 hours for a water balloon fight. Yeah, that's kind of a strange job that I have. But I want to just talk about that for a second. I want to thank the Australian folks. They were just so kind and generous to invite me down the Xbox team in Australia. And they're just wonderful people. And I just had a great time. Fantastic country. Just wow, is it way out there? Funny story though. You guys will appreciate this. The first day I check in, I was kind of alluding to this a little bit on my blog. The first day I checked in, we stayed at this Radisson in downtown Sydney. So you know, not a real fancy place, but a nice place. And I check into the Radisson, and I'm really exhausted, and flying for a million hours, and just you feel gross. So I get into the room, I set my laptop up, plug it into the wall. They've got wired connection. I'm thinking this is great wired connection because sometimes wireless can be a little dodgy when you're traveling. And I plug into the wall, and you know you open up the web page when you're traveling, and it says, oh, you know, you need to sign up for the for service. Yeah, okay, whatever. So it was like $24.95 a day. I'm like, well, that's a little expensive, but all right, whatever. So I click OK, and yes, this is my room number, and this is my name, and okay, you're now connected to the internet. Great. Okay, cool. So I open up Outlook, which is what we use for corporate mail at Microsoft, as you can pretty well imagine. And the Outlook, I think I have, version 2000. No, actually, I'm testing the new version. But anyway, either version, the last two versions, they have this concept of cached mode, which basically does is you connect to your mail server and it starts downloading everything in the background, kind of like every other, you know, mail program. But so basically I fire it up and I figure, you know, I've been offline for probably like a whole day, a day and a half. So I'm going to just fire it up, log in, let it download its mail, let it catch up with itself, and I'll come back in like 5 or 10 minutes. So, you know, I go to the bathroom, I start to unpack, I, you know, look at the little in room, this is where you're located book, I look out the window, and I'm like, okay, it's time to do mail. So I sit down in front of the computer, and I start doing mail, and I just got tons of mail and attachments and everything in my private email. And I'm going through it, and I'm cruising some websites, and all of a sudden I'm at, you know, I'm basically sitting there for probably about an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and I'm going through it, and the internet just stops. I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Why did it stop? And I'm looking at my thing, and it says Outlook can't connect. And I'm like, oh, boy, something's wrong here. So I close all my browsers. I open up my browser again, and it says, you know, welcome to the Radisson. Click here to pay, you know, $25.95 or whatever it was to connect. I'm like, whoa, I did this already. What does it mean? And then as I read the fine print, because I didn't do this the first time because I was so, you know, so focused on just getting on, it was this is where the kicker is. It costs $25 a day or 100 megabytes, whichever comes first. Yeah. So think about that for a second. So when I fired up Outlook, basically it's just started downloading all of my email that I had been. Of course, that comes with attachments and these, you know 2 meg PowerPoints that people like to send around and all other crap. So I had crossed the 100 meg limit, literally within 2 hours. Who knew? So I was like, oh, this is not good. So it was kind of a bumpy week. So I had a little chat with my Microsoft hosts, and we were able to, we made some phone calls to the hotel, and they were able to take care of it. I had to pay for the internet, but it was just like 100 megabytes. I mean, God, I think I do that on my mobile phone now, right? So anyway, so that's kind of, and not only that, but the internet was kind of slow. I mean, but you know, I'm also on the other side of the world, so I get that. But the event was really great, and I want to talk about that for a second. The event was really fantastic. It was It was a phenomenal event that raised money for a lot of people don't know this, but it actually raised money for some of the lifeguards down there it's the local life-saving group that they were raising money for. And here's the final numbers. There's 2,849 participants. They threw 55,000 water balloons. I mean, that's amazing. It was just a phenomenal event. And again, I don't want to talk too much about it because I've been yakking about it. But what was really great, in addition to being part of the event, was meeting some of the folks from the community. So I got to, and I've actually met him before, Joel from Kotaku. Curry from Xbox Inc. was there. Gaming Age, Robbie from Gaming Age was great. So these guys were just really nice to hang out with, and they did some nice write-ups as well. But what was interesting about this event was it was actually a world record. So I'm thinking, who could I talk to about this world record thing? And lo and behold, of course, because it's a Guinness World Book of Records, because who else does world records? There's a market for somebody to come up with somebody other than Guinness to do world records. But, So I kind of was asking around all the people that were the event organizers, and I said, hey, is the Guinness guy here? And they're like, well, yeah, he is. He's right over there. So I went and found him, and he was just the nicest guy. So here's a quick interview I did with Chris, the Guinness World Book of Record guy. Now, I have to apologize because this was right after the event, and there was a band on stage, so it was a little bit loud. But anyway, here's the interview I did with the Guinness World Book of Records guy. So I'm here at Coogee Beach in, is this considered South Australia, Chris?
No, it's certainly not South Australia.
Okay.
We're in the state of New South Wales.
Okay, state of New South Wales. Yeah. So I'm down here for the amazing balloon toss. And with me is Chris Sheedy, who you work for Guinness World Book of Records.
That's right, Guinness World Records.
That is the craziest thing. So I want to talk to you about what you saw today.
Yes.
So let's talk about it. We just got finished with the event. And do you think they broke the record? I know you have to go through some tallying.
Exactly. We do need to work out the exact numbers. But as far as I know, the record certainly was broken today. It stood previously at 2,677 people involved in a water balloon fight.
And that was in Spain, right?
That was in Spain, yes, last year. And I believe there were over 2,700 people on the beach today.
That's amazing.
It is. It was fantastic to watch. And the most amazing thing to me is that I was timing it.
Right.
And 8.5 minutes later, they were still going strong. There were still lots of balloons flying through the air.
So one could almost argue it's not only the largest, but maybe it's also the longest.
Exactly. It could be. But, but maybe we have a new record here.
So I want to talk a little bit about how did you certify this? I mean, what do you have to go through? What's the process?
Basically, what we need to do is, number one, make sure that everything is done according to the guidelines. And as far as the guidelines are concerned, for every single record that someone can break, there are a set of specific guidelines that need to be followed.
Yep.
They come from Guinness World Records, and the reason for those guidelines is to protect the last people who own the record.
Sure.
To make sure the next people aren't doing it in an easier fashion, if you like. Well, the guidelines today simply stated that the counting must be a thorough method.
Sure.
And you're satisfied
with that method?
Exactly. They've actually used three different methods here today. They've got them to sign papers on the way in, sign papers on the way out, and there's been clicker counters as they walk through a particular point.
So it's
been very thorough, yes.
That's excellent.
And also one of the other points was that there needed to be a 10-meter no man's land between the two parties.
Right.
At the beginning of the water fight, obviously that's not going to last the whole way through
it.
But that was that 10-meter gap actually stayed for at least 30 seconds, which surprised me.
Which is successful?
Yes, absolutely.
That meets the demand.
Yes.
So I want to talk a little bit about you go around, you're from Australia.
I am.
I can tell by the accent.
Yes.
But you go around and you certify records.
That's right. I actually worked with Guinness World Records in London for 4 years. That involved working in the New York City office as well for a little while. So I've worked in several places, but right now I'm representing them in Australia.
Now, do you have a specialty, or do you do big events like this? I mean, or largest insects, or how does that work?
No, it's mainly big events that any sorts of events that go on. For example, 3 weeks ago, I was in Queensland, which is the state north of New South Wales in Australia, and I was just judging the longest truck that had ever been built.
The longest truck.
Or longest lorry, you might call it. I think in the States you call it a truck still?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, of course. And basically this was a truck that was 1.7 kilometers long.
It was 1.7 kilometers.
That's right, which is over a mile. So a truck that was over a mile long, and it actually had to drive with one engine at the front of the truck. It had to drive for at least 100 meters, and they did that.
How does it turn corners?
Oh, this one didn't turn any corners, trust me. Wow. It was a very long straight road they set it up on. So basically any huge events that happen, I will actually go to them just to make sure everything's done correctly, to help them out, and to announce a record at the end of the event.
That's fascinating. So what is the process now? You talked about how it has to be certified. Do you work with London, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's right. The head office is in London, and so when somebody wants to break a record, wherever they are in the world, they need to contact London.
Right.
Normally via the website, GuinnessWorldRecords.com. And then they register via the website, and then Guinness World Records get back to them with either a yes, we're happy with this attempt, no, we're not, or
send us yes. more information.
Exactly. Yeah, precisely.
Wow. So you've been doing this for how long?
I've been working with Guinness World Records now for about 6 years.
And what's the strangest one you've seen?
that's a great question, and it's one my answer is always what is not the strangest one I've ever seen.
True.
I've seen some bizarre things. For me, as boring as it sounds, the most memorable one is meeting the world's tallest man.
How tall is he?
Good question. I think it was 2.34 meters.
Wow.
And basically, to get this in perspective, I'm about 5'8".
Yep.
And my head came up to his belt on his jeans.
Oh, my God.
And, but it's not just the meeting them and the realization that your idea of tall has to be thrown out the window now.
Right.
Because at any one time, there are actually two or three giants walking the earth.
Right.
And this guy obviously was one of those giants.
Where was he from?
He's from Tunisia. His name is Radwan Chabib from Tunisia. But the most amazing thing is how sad they are, because it's an absolute curse. It's an incredible curveball they've been thrown.
Sure.
They're not going to live for very long. They're not going to live past the age of 40, probably.
Right.
And of course, wherever they go, they're a freak, because everyone is staring at them.
Because they're huge.
Yeah, exactly. And so for me, that was the most memorable. Number one, because I didn't realize a human being could be like this.
Right.
But number two, because of the emotion. They're just such wonderful but sad people.
Right.
So, yeah.
So you've seen big events. You've seen tall events.
Yes.
Do you do anything with insects? Or I talked about bugs a little earlier.
I don't believe that
like
I've...
Like a man with the beard of bees. Or...
Yeah, I've seen video footage of a man who puts enormous tarantulas in his mouth while he blows
you.
Bubbles.
Yeah.
Which is a strange one. But
right.
Oh, and I did actually... In Australia about 6 months ago, we had a boy who got into a glass cabinet full of spiders and had them crawling all over his body, and he stayed in there for at least 30 seconds, so that set a new record.
Oh, my Lord.
I believe they were golden orb spiders, which aren't deadly, but they're very creepy looking.
Yeah, so that's enough to creep you out.
Exactly.
Oh, my Lord. Talk about needing therapy. So what's your next event that you're going to be looking at?
Oh, I'm not sure what's coming up next. I understand there's another one happening in Queensland, and it's got something to do with a big dance or a big aerobics session.
Oh, interesting.
Which means basically probably about 10,000 people doing the same aerobic steps all at one time.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
But I'm not quite sure when that's happening.
So you're just basically whatever comes down the pike, you need to go out and certify.
That's right. And it's not a job I complain about very much.
No, I can imagine you're traveling all over the place. You're seeing exotic things. You're taking place in some water balloon fights. I mean, you've got some other things.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
Talk about
well,
some of the little factoids.
It's just interesting that the year 2005 was a great vintage for large fights.
Really?
Because in 2005, we had the largest water pistol fight.
Where was that?
Which was 1,173 people. That was in Los Angeles.
Oh, interesting.
We also had in 2005 the largest pillow fight. That was in Albany, New York.
Yeah, I've been up there, Albany, New York.
Yep, 3,500 people.
Pillow fights.
It's a sleepy place, is it?
Right.
And then the largest custard pie fight was also in 2005 with 3,300 people.
Now, did you see that one?
No, I didn't. But wouldn't that have been great?
And how?
Yeah. But it's what I love about it is that it's you can have, as we saw on the beach today, almost 3,000 people having a fight with each other, and every single one of them coming out of it with a smile
with
on their
smile
face.
On their face, yeah.
Exactly, it's a wonderful thing.
So what will happen when this gets ultimately, assuming it gets certified, it's in the next publication of the book.
Exactly, not every record gets into the book, and that's something that that people expect. The book is full of every single world record, but in fact, there's about 40,000 Guinness World Records, and about 4,000 make it into the book each year. So the book is simply a great selection of great records.
And where can I read about the rest of them?
you can ring someone at Guinness World Records and have a very long conversation.
Do you think this one will make it in the book?
Oh, I think so, yeah. The new ones and the fantastic ones, the fun ones, tend to make it into the book, yes.
Unless
it's broken by then, of course.
Of
because
course.
Last year this was broken three times.
Wow, so the water balloon fight world record was broken three times.
Three times in 2005, yes.
Wow. Yeah. So when does the book go to press?
Yeah, that's actually in about 3 weeks, so
oh,
it should be safe.
So yes. Pretty good. That's exactly. Good to know. I appreciate that. Chris Sheedy from the Guinness World Records of Australia, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.
All righty.
Yeah, so that's what that guy does, is he certifies world records. Like, is that not the wildest job ever? Tallest guy. I can't imagine what that would be like. But anyway, so he was there. We broke the record. So that's, you know, in the water balloon toss. So let's move on, shall we? Let's go to other Xbox news. One thing I wanted to point out before I get going. Do you have an interesting story about how Xbox Live has changed your life? I'm looking for stories of cool Xbox Live, just the way people have been touched by Xbox Live and how it brings people together. I'm trying to see just what we're doing out there and if there's any interesting stories I can tell. And then what I usually do is I hand them off to Xbox.com's Trixie, and she usually writes some stories about them. But I was thinking, what kind of cool stories are there out there? I've seen some really interesting ones. Of course, there's Gaming Grandma. And, you know, whether one would argue whether or not she used Xbox Live in an interesting way. That's debatable. So if you find somebody who's using Xbox Live in an interesting way, let me know. Be curious to see how that is. Let's see what else we have here. E3's coming up. I talked about that earlier in the show. That is coming up, and make sure you check out the coverage over at Xbox.com. And for the first time ever, I've been being the squeaky wheel inside Xbox.com, and people get it, but they're just busy with other things. You can now add an RSS feed from Xbox.com, and I'll put a link on my blog for that. So make sure you add your RSS, that feed to your reader, and you can track what's going on. Speaking of E3, so I'm going to be down there, and you know, you guys think I'm just going to be walking around, kind of, hey, what's going on? But I'm actually working. I'm in charge of video production for Xbox.com. So you probably saw me in some of the videos for Zero Hour, which we did obviously for launch. But I'm actually going to have a couple of video crews running around taking a look at some interesting stories and covering just kind of the cool stuff that's on the ground. So if you're going to E3 and you find some cool stuff you think would make video, let me know. I'm not going to be interested in the Sony or Nintendo press briefing, because this is for Xbox.com. So I'll be down there. And, of course, I'm going to be looking for cool stories to bring most of the people that are listening to this show that can't get to E3. So that's kind of what I'll be doing. I'll be responsible for the video side of it. So that'll be interesting. Let's see. Let me open up my notes here and see what else I have. Oh, so I've got some tickets to this community party. So let me talk a little bit about what the community party is. What happened was last year when I went before some of the folks around the Xbox team realized how important community was. I mean, they always have from the product group and the PR team and the marketing team kind of understand it as well that, wait a minute, this is, you know, Xbox Live is made of people and human energy and all that. So anyway, everybody gets it now, which is cool. But the party is Wednesday night, and I did it last year. Trixie and I hosted this party last year. And it's an invite-only party. It's on Wednesday night at the booth after E3 closes. So basically they flush everybody out of the halls, and then we get security in there. We bring some food in, really expensive food, because it's up to the convention center. And we have a party. And it was a huge hit last year. I mean, we had 350 people last year. And we started planning this year. This year the PR and marketing team, specifically the PR team, all those guys over there at the Gamerscore blog, they have they've got a renewed focus around community. So Trixie and I have been helping them. We're actually working with them, and they've decided that we're going to do the party, and they've got the money, so we're going to throw the party, which is great. So I get to host the party, and they get to pay for it. How cool is that? So, but here's the catch, and I need to be very clear on this. I'm going to be very 100% crystal clear. If you're in the LA area, you just can't get tickets to the party, because you have to have tickets to E3. You have to have E3 credentials in order to get to the party. So it's actually a two-step process to get to our Wednesday night community party. Step one is you have to already have credentials from E3, and I can't help you out there. You got to deal with the E3 people. And it's an industry-only trade show, so it's not like you can just buy tickets to the event. So this is you have to be credentialed and work in the industry, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So once you've got over that hurdle, then you need to get tickets to the special event on Wednesday night in the Xbox booth. And I know that we've given a bunch away already to various bloggers and to the various folks in the community, but I wanted to reach out and see who's listening to my blog and let me know. So it's going to be a great party. It's over. Again, it's in the booth. It is really made up of anybody who's in the community. I mean, it's not a high-gloss crazy event that has, you know, high paid talent. Believe me, there's no high paid talent, no high paid talent performing on stage and so forth. This is really just about hanging out with the community. We'll give some stuff away and we'll have some fun. I'm going to get the guys from Penny Arcade there. There's going to be some publishers are going to be dropping by. Some developers are going to be dropping by. I've got a bunch of people from the Xbox team that are going to be there. So it's really just you never know who you're going to be standing next to when you're playing the game. And of course, all the game consoles, or the game kiosks will be on and playable. It's going to be great this year. Cause last year, I think we only had like five or six playable, or demo stations for the Xbox 360. And now it's going to be everywhere, which is going to be great. So that's going to be happening. So, you know, the people that are going to be there is Trixie, of course, Elle, who writes for Xbox.com, and she's going to be coming down and covering, it. And she actually gets real cranky if I don't mention her. So Elle, John Caesar, and Tony from the Gamerscore blog. They run the PR blog over there, and they're the guys paying for the party, so we can thank them. You know, all of us are going to be there. We're going to be there. We're going to be having some fun. It's going to be cool. And what I want you to do is send me an email, major@xbox.com. In the subject line, please put community party. And just put your gamer tag and your real name. Don't give me any personal information yet. And I'm going to enter you into a drawing, and then I'll pull out some people. I don't know how many tickets I have. I have to check on that. But I'll pull out the winners, and I'll notify you via email next week. So, again, in order to enter, you have to have – actually, in order to attend the community party on Wednesday night, you have to have E3 credentials already. So you can't just email me and say, hey, I really want to go to the party. Can you get me in? I can't get you in. I'm sorry. It's not up to me. These are the rules. So, speaking of community, one of the other cool things we're doing is a blogger bus. And I posted about this on my blog a couple days ago, but there's a blogger bus that we're going to have parked outside the entrance, and it's actually a really nice location. And this is a huge bus that has Xbox 360 on the side, and we're going to have a bunch of plasma screens inside. We're going to have some Xbox 360s inside, but more importantly, we're going to have Wi-Fi access for some people that can come in and hang out and get online. So that's going to be really exciting. And it's kind of outside the venue, the E3 convention center, which is great because it gets so loud in there. It's unbelievably loud. And it's great just to be able to hang out, and obviously we'll have air conditioning working and hanging out, and it'll all be cool like that. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So the blogger bus, keep an eye out for that. Swing by there if you are around. Speaking of blogging, I want to talk about my blog for just a moment. Of course, if you're listening to this on iTunes, you may or may not know that I have a full blog over at majornelson.com. And for those of you frequent visitors to my blog, know that we went through a recent changeover. And I want to just talk about that for a second. If you're interested, I'll talk about that for about a minute or so. Basically what happened was right before I left for Australia, we're looking at the application we were using, and we're looking at the server, and we said, you know what, we need to get ready for E3 and everything that's going on. So we migrated to a new platform community server. And, what happened was it was literally, I was talking with, GRF, whose new name is Lithion. For those of you who don't know, GRF/Lithion, and I'll put a link to his gamer tag on my blog, is the tech brains behind my blog. I'm just the yak guy who yaks about it all the time, and he's really the one who makes the cool magic stuff happen. He and I were talking on Monday before I left, you know, was it about a week and a half ago? And it was just one of those things where he and I were looking. We said, you know what, we need to get ready for E3. Why don't we just go ahead and switch now? So that's why the switch was kind of sudden. And he's in the process of importing all my old posts and your old comments, which is something on the magnitude of, I think I have like 1,000 or 1,200 posts that I've made over the past year and a half. And you guys have like 30,000 comments. So it's not easy to write an application to just import them all, but he's working on it. But we're going to be adding some cool stuff to this platform. It's going to be a lot cooler. We've got some really cool ideas. I don't really want to talk about them right now, but I just want to let you know that, we've basically built out and scaled for E3 and the growing of the Xbox 360, so we can handle performance much better, less outages, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of what's going on. That's why it was kind of last minute for those of you that were asking. But thank you for asking. But we're back, and we are cooking, and we are there. So check out the blog at majornelson.com, and it's gonna be going through some changes as Lithion updates it over the next coming weeks. Of course, we probably won't be touching it during E3 because we don't want to be, God forbid, we don't want to break anything. But we, so after E3, we'll probably be updating it significantly more. So that's kind of the blog update as that sits right there. Let's just jump through what's going on with Xbox. Some major marketplace content went up while I was traveling. And thank you to everybody that posted what was going on. But here's just a quick run through of what's up now. So there's a Game King's Graw trailer, which is just for the Netherlands. There's a Big Day Out trailer for Austria, Denmark, Finland, France, Great Britain, Ireland, Netherlands, Norway, Sweden. Game with Fame, Christian Schur trailer, which I guess is in Germany only. And then the Netherlands, you guys have some Gamo Digital Entertainment 0405 trailers, a Yellow Card Burnout Revenge trailer for the Netherlands. Now we'll get to the rest of the planet Earth. There's the Nacho Libre Confessional Videos, which is a new movie by Jack Black coming out. Lost Planet, there's a pre-E3 trailer. You can download that. There's a Rockstar Table Tennis trailer, which I played this, and I don't know if you heard me talk about this a couple months ago, but this is actually a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to this one. There's a DOA4 Itagaki trailer. There's a Blazing Angels trailer. There's an MLB 2K6 trailer. And then there's some demos up as well. There's a Tiger Woods PGA Tour 06 demo, a Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter offline demo. There's a Cameo demo. Then we've got some themes up there, themes and picture packs. We've got a Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter theme. You know, I didn't know that. I got to go take a look at that. Totally forgot about that. PGR3 Global Tournament game picture. That's a free one, if I remember correctly. Oblivion, there's now in-game content. There's three pieces of in-game content. You can go download those as well. No, it's not horse armor. Horse armor again, and there's a couple more things up there. I'm just catching up on it, so you can subscribe to my marketplace feed, and you will be notified via your RSS feeder when new stuff goes up, because I try to post as frequently as I can. One of the most frequent questions I get, I need to put an FAQ. If somebody wants to write a nice FAQ, I'll post it and attribute you. The reason content is not available in every reasons, there's a variety of reasons that it's not available. Usually they're legal, meaning that the company who is distributing it or is developing it or producing it doesn't have the rights to market it or distribute it in other countries. For instance, maybe Paramount Pictures doesn't have rights to use this particular trailer of Tom Cruise in Japan. Who knows? You know, there's a lot of weirdness around all these rights and issues. So, or maybe for game trailers, it's, they don't have the rights to show that in a specific place, or they don't own the IP for that particular title in a specific region. So, you know, there's a lot of regions and people seem to take it personally, but they have to remember is Xbox Live is a global service. So unfortunately, because of the internet and this new age of rapid fire communication, you're able to find things out that are available in other areas that may or may not be available in your area, and you may be put off by it, but it's just the way it is, and blame the lawyers. We'll just leave it at that. Earlier this week, the Microsoft earnings came out. And so this is the time to get your pocket protectors out, folks, because I'm going to talk a little bit about investing and your pocket protector and your little green eye shade. So let's see what we can talk about here. So this quarter, we shipped 1.7 million Xbox 360 consoles, bringing the cumulative sales to date to 3.2 million consoles, with 1.8 million in North America, 1.1 million in Europe, and 300,000 for the rest of the world. During the third quarter, so this is third financial quarter, you have to think of it that way, we extended the Xbox 360's market leadership to presence in over 30 countries. And according to NPD, which is a tracking company, our live-to-date attach for software and peripherals in the U.S. through March was 4.5 and 3.0 per console, respectively, higher than any other game console at this point in the life cycle. So that's pretty significant. Anyway, despite the basically relatively small install base compared to, say, the PS2, the three of the top 10 selling video games in the U.S. In March were for the Xbox 360 platform. So that is just fantastic. Also, the attach rate for Xbox Live remains amazingly strong, with more than half of all the Xbox 360 consoles sold are connected to the service. It's either a gold or a silver account. So that means you guys are downloading stuff. Speaking of downloading, in less than 5 months, there have been over 10 million pieces of digital content from Xbox Live Marketplace downloaded. Isn't that amazing? I think most of it was horse armor. I'm kidding. Let's have a little sense of humor here, folks. Also, over 4 million downloads have been made from the Xbox Live Arcade since launch as well. So I don't know if that, I was given these numbers, and I don't know if that 10 million includes the 4 million arcade numbers. I should check on that. Anyway, so we're looking at, we announced that we're looking at shipping between, five to 5.5 million, consoles. Recently we had 4.5 to 5.5 million. We're going to up that a little bit and go 5 to 5.5. So, but the other thing is, you know, that's kind of the top line stuff, but a lot of people have read into it. And those of you that are into looking at the financials of companies, and Microsoft is a fascinating company to look under the financial covers for. We're in the home and entertainment segment, which we make the Xbox 360, and we increased revenues by 80% from $1.1 billion to $1.1 billion. But our loss, we actually lost money as well. So we lost $388 million. So that's the way that works. So you gotta lose money to make money. You know about that. Right. All right. I posted this yesterday on my blog, the Xbox 360 voice blog, and I think just that's fascinating. Go up and take a look at it if you can. It's Xbox360voice.com. You go there, you enter your gamer tag. And what this site will do is automatically generate a blog that your Xbox 360 is quote unquote making. So what it does is it looks at the service, and it's a free service, looks at the, what your Xbox 360 is doing when it logs into live, and, you know, basically what we call presence information, looks at the presence information, then basically winds up little stories about it. And it's just go over there and take a look. I think it's actually pretty funny. So that's fun. I want to talk about the Wii for a second. So Nintendo announced the Wii, and I think you guys know this. I have a Nintendo DS. I love it. I have Brain Age. In fact, I actually have Brain Age sitting right here in my office in my studio. Let's see. There you go. So just to let you know, because I know that people are probably trying to figure this out, I'm going to go in here and take a look. My Brain Age is 28. So I don't know what your Brain Age is, but I'm at 28 right now. So I've been playing it for about a week. But Nintendo announced the change of the Revolution, which was their next generation console. They announced the official name, and the official name is Wii. It's a head scratcher. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, a lot of, knee jerk responses. Oh my God, what are they thinking? You know, Wii, that means, you know, a lot of things to a lot of people. In fact, I probably shouldn't tell this story, but I will. I was coming home from work on Friday. Before I left, I went to the men's room at the office and on one of the other floors. And on the wall above the urinal was just a sign that had the Nintendo Wii logo with an arrow straight down. So it made me laugh. But a lot of people have had good and bad reactions to this. And I know that Joystick had an interesting, Vlad Cole over at Joystick had an interesting comment or an interesting blog post about that. So I'll link to that. So I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah, it's radical. Yeah, it's different. But, you know, Nintendo tends to march to the beat of a different drum. So I wish them well with that. I look forward to seeing what things are going to look like. I just wonder why they did it 2 weeks before E3, don't you? And then I sit back and I'm like, well, maybe they needed these 2 weeks to explain it, since they knew it was going to kind of be tough for people to get their head around. Otherwise, it would just be lost in the noise of E3 and trying to scream, because it's crazy all the crap that comes out of there in terms of the noise and announcements. So we'll see that. I'm also, you know, speaking of DS, I'm really, really looking forward to getting a DS Lite. I should get one of those. I don't know when those are coming to the country. Let me know. Let's see. One more thing. Trixie has a great article. Actually, I'm just reading through my notes here. It has a trade article about what people listen to when they're playing their Xbox 360, kind of like what the soundtrack is. Also, I'm gonna drop this in there, and I'll talk about this at the end of the show. Keep an eye on Xbox.com this week. Okay, would you do that for me? Yeah, something cool's coming up. It's cool. It's really cool. All right. Kind of winding up the show here. It's kind of a short show because you know, sometimes my shows are filled up with these 30-minute interviews, and I didn't get one of those this week. I got a quick little one with the guy from Guinness. But I wanted to put out a better, shorter show as opposed to one that was just me rambling on. So let's go ahead and jump into Name the Game. Here's the sound clip from the last Name the Game. Apparently it's not as hard as I thought it was, or you guys are playing too many games. That, of course, was Full Auto. Full Auto, so let's see. The winner is, the congratulations, gamertag JTM. JTM, congratulations. You grabbed yourself a Plantronics Major Nelson headset. Plus, I'll throw in some other swag as well, what I got kicking around the office. So, well done, my friend. Brings us right next to the next name of the game. So, this one you're going to have quite some time because I'm going to be doing some shows and I'll be doing, you know, I'll be working E3. So, I probably won't have a regular normal Sunday show for something on the magnitude of probably like 3 weeks, it may be. Who knows? But this one will carry over. So, I made it a little bit more difficult, but like I say, the last one was supposed to be difficult, but you guys nailed that one. A bunch of you did. So here you go. Here's name the game for this week. All right. If you think you know what that is, email me, major@xbox.com. In the subject line, please put name the game and then your guess. And then in the body, please put just your gamer tag. Don't include any other information. You can only enter once, you know, blah, 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 legal stuff. So good luck to that. Gonna be a hard one. Let's see. We're coming down the home stretch here. Just want to update you on a couple things. One of the sites actually that I visit pretty frequently is an Xbox MVP that you guys need to know about is the Xbox User Groups. Have you seen that site yet? I'll put a link on the old blog, but check that one out. That's actually a pretty good site. And I'm amazed at the passion and dedication around a bunch of these different sites. And I'm working. I talked about the new blog earlier in the cast. But I'm going to, I've got a link section that we're going to be working on that's going to be really kind of cool. I think you guys will like it. So I'll be able to post all the links to all the cool sites that we find. And that you can, what I really want is the ability for you guys to submit your own links to put up there so that people can just go through and find their own stuff. So that's one thing I'm going to be working on. But check that out when you get a chance, xboxusersgroup.com. Let's see what else here. Okay, I need to mention this. Actually, I want to do a quick look at gadgets. I'm really excited about the Q Phone. Are you guys totally hip and up to speed on what's going on with the Q Phone? Q Phone is a Windows mobile phone that's from Motorola, and it's really kind of cool and thin. I'm trying to get my hands on one of those, and apparently it's coming out soon. So anybody who's got a lead on the Q Phone, contact me. Anybody from Motorola, contact me. So I'm really excited about the Q Phone. What are you guys buying lately? What phone has got you guys flipped out? Oh, another thing that I'm looking at buying is a new Marantz audio recorder. It's the Marantz PMD660, which is a solid state recorder, which will allow me when I'm traveling to just do random recordings. And that's one thing I've always, I want to be honest with you guys. That's one thing I've always struggled with is, you know, as you know, I have a fairly, structured show with the open and the close and the name of the game and my news and usually an interview. And I want to do a lot more interviews, but I just want to know, are you guys okay if I just like do an interview and throw it up without all the music and stuff? Are you okay with that? I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what you guys are trying to expect. So I'm picking up this Marantz PMD660 to really, really hopefully do some more interviews on the street interviews. You know, maybe when I'm down at D3, hopefully I'll get it in before then. So, let's see. I talked about the blog. Much more stable now, much faster. All right, let's talk about downtime for a second. So I don't know when you're listening to this, but I'm recording this on Sunday. I'm going to post this later today on Sunday, the 30th of April. And on Tuesday, May 2nd, which is just 2 days from now, and if you're listening to this after Tuesday, May 2nd, or let me be more clear, if you're listening to it after 3 o'clock Pacific time, Tuesday, May 2nd, then you can fast forward. If not, then you may want to listen. We've posted this up on the Xbox forums, but on Tuesday, May 2nd, from 0200 to 1500 Pacific time, Xbox Live, Xbox.com, and the Xbox forums are going to be offline for maintenance. So we've got some maintenance to do to get ready for E3, just like I did with my blog, but obviously Xbox.com, Xbox Live, and the forums are way more complex. So they're going to be offline for maintenance. So I'll put a link to find out what time that will start in your area, specifically in your time zone. But I want to make you aware of that. But that's what's going on. So that is the second. Now, what this is not, and there's a horrible rumor, and that's because you guys think you know better than anybody else, and you post these up. You're not going to come back and find a dashboard upgrade. Sorry. That's not what this is about. This is a maintenance for Xbox Live, Xbox.com, and the forums. And that's the way it goes. Now, I will say this, when it does come back, there'll be some cool stuff that you may want to look at on Xbox.com. But this is not a dashboard update. Did I mention that? So no dashboard updates going out on Tuesday the 2nd. So there you go. All right. Also, something important to note is that a lot of you may use MSN Messenger to keep track of your Xbox Live friends list. Some folks, depending upon what your region is, you may have a tab in there that shows you your friends. And there's been some problems with that. Passport changed the way they did things. So they kind of broke that for us. So we're fixing that. And I think we're going to have that fixed with the Tuesday update. I'll have to check with the developers on that one. But don't panic. That's why Messenger is being wonky. Just go ahead and you can still use the friends list on Xbox.com. That will still render accordingly. But your Messenger's down. So anyway, Xbox Live, Xbox.com, Xbox forums will be offline Tuesday, May 2nd from 0200 to 1500. That's military time for those of you who don't know what the heck I'm saying. And this is not a dashboard upgrade. All right, I'm going to wrap it up here. So I want to thank everybody for downloading this show. If you're downloading this from iTunes, please check out the complete Major Nelson experience over at www.majornelson.com. Also, I want to thank my friends at Centricom for providing a secured and assured hosting environment for my blog and the media files. I also want to thank the folks over at Community Server for hooking me up with their new platform. It's been whizzing right along, so thank you for that. So anyway, remember, if you're going to E3, if you already have your E3 credentials, drop me an email, major@xbox.com, put community party up in the subject line, and I'll see if I can get you some tickets. I have a very limited number of tickets this year, so I'm going to do the best I can. So if you don't hear from me by, like, say, Wednesday or Thursday, then you're probably not going, unfortunately, so because I can't reply to every single email. So drop me an email anyway, major@xbox.com. But thank you for downloading my show. I will. I hopefully will see some of you guys at E3, more specifically at the community party. I look forward to hanging out with you guys and seeing what goes on there. It looks to be a very interesting E3. I don't know any of the announcements that we're going to be making. I am going to. I'm pretty close to getting clearance to podcast the keynote address that we're doing, the press briefing that we're doing on Tuesday. So I should have that up on the old blog for you guys to listen to, which is going to be cool. No idea what they're going to announce in that. I have no idea. Hopefully I'll find out this week, but it'll be too late to record a show and let you know, even though I can't do that anyway. So thanks so much. So have fun, play fair. Remember to send feedback, and I will talk to you in a couple weeks, and I'll see you at E3. Bye-bye. And now comes the after show. Yes. Hey, you know what I get a lot of questions are is what podcast do I listen to? And to be honest with you, I don't have a lot of time to listen to many podcasts, which is the irony of this thing is because I'm so too busy doing this one. But I'm going to put a list of some links up on the blog of ones, people at Microsoft that I listen to a few of them. I don't get to listen to all of them. But Michael Lehman does one, Steve Lamb does one, John Howard, Eileen Brown, Steve Lacy does a great one. So Mike Hall, of course, is doing a huge one. So there's a bunch up there. So I'll put a link up there so you guys can kind of see what else is going on at Microsoft in terms of podcasting, if you're interested. Of course, everyone listens to Leo Laporte and all the rest of those guys. So it's I'll put up the list sometime. But like I say, what I was talking about in the main show about the blog is it's so much more stable now, and it's so much faster and we've got the ability to do a lot more things that are more interesting. So I'm really excited about that. Unfortunately, it just doesn't come fast enough, and I'm really impatient. I'm like, I want it all now. But, you know, we have to kind of lock down and not do anything over E3 so that you guys can get your news, you know, and we'll be working on it through the summer. This is a long-term project, trust me. Lots of little things that Lithion. Hey, add Lithion to your friends list if you get a chance. I asked him, I said, do you mind if I post your new gamer tag? He's like, no, I don't mind. So there you go. Let's fill it up. Just like I used to do with E. Remember E? Yeah. Send E a friend's request. That'll be cool. Send E a friend's request. We haven't done that in a while. Or a message for that matter. Just say, hey, what's going on? E's going to be at E3. So if you're down there at E3, I'll introduce you to the legendary E. Lithion will actually be there as well. He won't be working on the blog. He'll be hanging out at E3. So we've got a bunch of folks going. I'd love to see you there too. I really would. Yeah, that really sucked about the 100 megabytes. 100 megabyte cap. What the heck is that all about? By the way, loved Australia. I've deemed it the land of the misfit animals. I went to Caesar from the Gamerscore blog, and I went out one day. We went to I took a train and a bus and God only knows what else out to this wildlife park in the middle of nowhere. And it was just, it was great. It was beautiful, beautiful day. The animals were fantastic. But you look at these things and you're like, what the hell is that? I saw these reptiles and I'm like, what is that? And then I walk around the corner and there's be all these white kangaroos. Nothing is more off-putting than a white kangaroo. Maybe it wasn't a kangaroo. Maybe it was something else. I don't know. But because there's all these different flavors of the marsupials, but I looked at these things and I'm like, holy cow, they look like big rabbits, these enormous big rabbits that are bouncing around out there, and then of course the dingoes. My favorite one, and I should put this video up, is the Tasmanian devil. These guys were two Tasmanian devils, and they look like little pigs, and they were just angry. And you know, you think of Tasmanian devil and you think of that whirling thing in the Warner Brothers cartoons. No, these little guys are just angry, nasty, nasty little animals. They were just so angry with each other, and they're always hissing at each other. And I recorded them in the video, and I should put this up, but I recorded them in the video, and it's just funny as hell, because they're just cranky, cranky little guys. But it was so much fun to see the koalas and all the rest of those guys. So, but it's just wow, they are a totally different evolutionary track than the rest of the planet. But fun place. So, all right, I gotta get this show up and ready. I'm doing it on the new blog, so I gotta allow myself a little extra time here to get this up there and get it ready for you guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye bye.